out, church. Let's give all of our youth some nice hands. All of our youth. Praise God for yet another time to come before you. We thank God that He is God, and beside Him there is none other. We thank God that He has allowed us, He's allowed us to look beyond of our faults. He's looked beyond our faults and supplied all of our needs. And yes, truly, this is a day that the Lord has made, and together we rejoice because we are so glad in it. Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me at this time? Truly, Lord God, as we come before you one more time, Lord, just coming to say thank you. Even as I stand, Father God, in this sacred place, I ask right now that you will strengthen me, Lord God, to deliver that which you've given unto me. And then your children, those who have come far and near, those, Lord God, who just need a word from you, Father God, prepare their hearts to receive even more. We've heard the word in song from our children. We've seen the word in motion from our mind. And now, God, the preaching moment again. Oh, Father God, I just ask you right now, Father God, let your Shekinah glory continue to fill this temple and draw us so close together that one cannot fall for the other. For Lord God, we love you and we serve you with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And we ask your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you with your Bibles, would you please stand and turn with me to 1 Samuel, the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18. 1 Samuel, chapter 18. You have it, say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18. It is good that we stand as we reverence the word of the Lord. Together we will read verses 6 through 9. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verses 6 through 9, let us read. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Lift our Bibles high and repeat our proclamation. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. And today, I submit myself to God that He may prove His word in my life today. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. On this day of our youth worship, there is a word from the Lord for such a time as this. Please look at your neighbor and ask this one question. Neighbor, can we share the spotlight? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, can we share the spotlight? Amen. About 15 or 20 years ago when this joke was told, I thought it was kind of cute. However, 15 years later, I have to do some cleaning up. There were these three men that were scheduled to go up a mountain. What? that no one has ever climbed before. And as they got to the bottom of the mountain, right before they got ready to go, they noticed that each of them had packed sort of strangely. This one man had a bunch of steel staves with him. And they asked him, what are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going up this mountain. And as I get there, I'm going to plug these staves in so that the person behind me won't have such a hard time as I did. They noticed the other man, he had a whole bunch of wood and cash receipts with him. And they said, what are you doing that for? He said, because when I get up to this mountain, I'm going to charge everybody that come up after me. Because I'm getting some money for this. And then they got to the third man. Somebody said third man. And he had a whole bunch of bricks in his pocket. He said, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to brick everybody that come after me. Because I'm staying on that mountain. That third man sounds like some of us, doesn't he? When we look at this passage of scripture, this is right after David has killed Goliath. And Saul, who was first of all very insecure in his position as king, he was insecure because he didn't get it the right way, and he knew within himself he was not supposed to be there. So any little thing made him even more secure. So as David kills Goliath and the women, the women are always in the way, but when the women come and they start singing, David killed his 10,000, Saul killed his 1,000, Saul killed his 1,000, David killed 10,000. And Saul is looking at this. He's saying, wait a minute. They are giving him more than they gave me. If this keeps up, they're going to take my kingdom. I can't stand David. Who does he think he is? I'm king. I don't care who he kills. I'm king. They're not supposed to be singing about David. They're supposed to be singing about me. I'm the king. And every time he listened to one of those songs, the more he heard it, the angrier he got. The more they sang it, he didn't get mad at the ones who were singing, but he got mad at David. Because Saul felt that when they sang about David, they took away from him. But I came to ask you today, can't we share the spotlight? Even as we were going over the Dream Girls movie, they tried to start a fight between Jennifer Holliday and Jennifer Hudson. And for a minute, Jennifer Hudson Holliday bought into that mess. Well, I wasn't in a movie. I was in a play. And it was harder for me than it was for her. And just going on. But then later she said, I pray that the movie does for her what the play did for me. I had my time. Now it's her time. I'm coming this morning because, children of God, we need to understand that all of us have an opportunity to have a time in the spotlight. But when your time is over, then it's over. When you had a spotlight at 20 and the horn was honking, you had it going on. Now it's time for you to go on. Because the horn
Virginia Tech massacre, somebody was angry because he didn't have the money that everybody else had. Child of God, wake up! It's not what labor is in your clothes. It's not how much money you make. It's not even where you live. It's about, are you a child of God? Please. Saul was angry. Some of us got the nerve, the audacity, the fortitude to walk in God's house and be jealous. I remember when I was so thin, my grandmother used to say, baby, you're so skinny, if you turn sideways, nobody could see you. Now I have to turn sideways so people can get by me. But I want you to know something. Girlfriend got it going on. Don't know where it's going, but it's going on. And as children of God, you better know who you are. Every time Saul heard that song, he got upset. Even in the household of faith today, we cannot celebrate each other because it seems like they're taking from us. Can't nobody take nothing from you. Whatever God gave you, it's for you. Doesn't matter how many younger models come. Please. Some of us are seasoned saints. Glory. And we still look good. Hallelujah. See, it's the ugly saints that can't say nothing. But Saul, let me tell you about Saul. Saul was so scared somebody's going to take something. He was so scared that if they start praising David, they will forget him. But children of God, let me tell you something. God has given us the ability to reinvent ourselves every day. In Lamentation, it says that his mercies are new every morning. And if you want them to keep talking about how good you are, then keep being good. If you want them to talk about how good looking you are, then make yourself good looking. Hello? Saul couldn't get past the fact that he thought nobody would sing his praises anymore. And even in church today, when we talk about, when we say one person's child got the honor roll, all of a sudden we don't like our child. Well, you should have got the honor roll. You should have did that. You should have been there. Well, he didn't get the honor roll. Have you seen who their parents are? We can't get upset because our child didn't make the honor roll this week. Did you help them with their homework? Maybe the fault is not with the child, but it's with the parents. You didn't get promoted on your job? Well, let me give you a hint. Promotions come from the things that you are doing new. No job pays you for what you have always done. In order to get promoted, you got to do something new. But as children of God, we want to get a reward because we always been here. Always been here, don't get nothing but splinters in their behind because they ain't did nothing but sin since they've been here. Children of God, we have to learn how to reinvent ourselves. Most marriages fail because we get stuck in the groove. But every now and then, reward them for what you remember they look like. Baby, I remember your hair was coal black. I do too. Baby, I remember when you construct yourself. I do too. Baby, you look so good. I'll drink 3 cups of your bath water. That's all right, baby. I'm going to take a shower. But we have to get it going on in the household of faith. When we look around, some of us got it look like we've been sucking on lemons. This is the household of faith. We have to learn how to grow in this thing. Saul was stuck because he was scared. And children of God, some of us get stuck because we're so scared somebody gonna get our position. In the household of faith, God raises up one and sets it down the other. We don't get positions no other way. But you have to make yourself promotion worthy. You have to train somebody to come behind you. One of these days, we're going to have to get up out of here, whether by the rapture or his second coming. And he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? Some of us going to sit there and say, well, I was waiting till I got to heaven. You don't need your gift in heaven. God bless you on this side because you're supposed to use your gift on this side. Somebody say Saul was jealous. He was jealous because when he looked at David, he saw all those things he wanted to be. When he looked at David, he saw everything he wished he could do. And it just made the rubber in his underwear snap. He was just so mad. And you know, even today, that green-eyed monster, envy and jealousy, got the nerve to walk the hallway of God's church. We get mad because when we remember how we used to wear miniskirts, we can't wear them no more. Yes, you can. Just wear them longer, that's all. Now, you know, the men sit up. They remember when they used to have a six-pack. Now all they got is the pack. They remember. But we don't have to get jealous no more. Just remember, it is by the grace of God that we are still here. It is by the grace of God that we still have the activities of our limbs. It is by the grace of God that we're still moving and shaking and living. It's because the grace of God. And when we realize who we are in the Lord, we are no longer angry. We are no longer upset because just like at one time, the spotlight was on Pastor Wright. He's gone now. It was on Pastor Williams. He's gone now. He's gone now. But now, hallelujah, the spotlight is on St. John. And we need to know we've got a right to be here. Can't nobody shut us up. God is the one that raised us up. God is the one that breathed breath in us. God is the one that said, you shall live and not die. We ain't scared. Even in the New Testament, when John was in prison, some of John's disciples came. Say, hey, did you see some man walking around here feeding hungry people, raising up dead people? I just want to know what you're going to do about it. John said, first of all, go back to him and ask him if he is the one that is to come or should we wait for another? Because John was secure in who he was. John knew he had did the best he could do with what God had given him. John said, you know what? I can see clearly right now. My time is just about up. I just want to be sure if I'm leaving, somebody needs to be here to take my place. So when they came back and they told him, he said his name was Jesus. He said, oh yeah, that's the one I've been waiting for. Now I don't care what you do to me. The person that's coming behind me, he's already here. I can go on now. I did what I'm supposed to do. I ain't scared. Cut my head off if you want to. But I laid the foundation. Somebody say foundation. And as children of God, when you use the gift that God had given you, all we're supposed to do is lay the foundation because somebody is going to come behind us and they're going to build on that. And when they do that ministry, right, somebody going to come behind them and build on that. And when they do theirs, right, somebody going to come let me make my disclaimer. If I can talk about you, hold your head up. Sister, I was going to talk about you anyway. I love the spirit of Deacon Woods. To St. John, he is the best musician on either side of heaven. And I'm prejudiced. I think St. John got the best members anywhere. I would rather hear Deacon Woods play 24/7 than anybody else. But Deacon Woods has the nerve. He gets on my nerve. He has the nerve to back up talking about them young fellas. They can play what I can't play. Doesn't bother him. But he gets back and he watches like they can teach him something. But he watches. Because he knows what his ministry is. Does he get upset? No. But he just watches. And I look at the Ingrams and I look at Mother Wood, how they've been singing. I look at Sister Meeks, how she sings and sings. But every now and then, Sister Carla gets the mic. They don't say, that's my shout. But they step back because they know somebody got to carry the choir on. When they can't get it together, Sister Carla got to stand up. When Carla can't get it together, Karen got to go on. All right? But we got to get it and pull it together. Then Brother Young over there, he just stands tall. And he ain't got no other usher, he calls Sister Young. Sister Young calls Sister Ben. Brother Davis come in, he just stands at the door. Don't nobody come in? That's all right. They are in position. Are they scared? No, because they are in position. And then after all that, when the choir was going on, Brother Lovett said, me need to do something. He looked around. Didn't nobody else look. So he didn't say nothing. He looked around again. Didn't nobody say nothing. So he didn't say nothing. Finally, the Lord stuck a piece of Jericho up his belly. He said, oh, we have a male choir rehearsal. They've been singing ever since. Is he scared? No. Because he knows his ministry. Let me tell you something, children of God. The only people that's jealous is the ones who don't know what their ministry is. But if you know what God told you to do, you don't care who come behind you. Just let them know, you get behind me. I started this, baby. He used me to start this. Uh-huh. Deacon Stephen back there, he's in charge of media. And if you get in the way, he will tell you, this is my ministry. He don't care how good Precious work back there. He don't care how good Carson work back there. Because in the end, you got to come through him. Is he scared? No. Then let me tell you about this old nappy-head child I know. Rem Peels. I don't care come hell or high water. George Bush can come here. But you know he can't speak until I tell him to speak. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson can't say a word until I say they can say a word. Am I scared? Nope. Am I worried? Nope. Because I know who the Lord sent to do what I'm doing. What am I saying? Children of God, you must be secure in your ministry. Know what God called you to do. Know that when he went to the cross, he went that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Don't be scared about nobody. Can you share the spotlight with me? Yes, you can. Because one day, I'm going to be pushing a walker. One day, I might be in a wheelchair. But until that day comes, we have to stay and know. I don't know how long the deacon board has been together. But the deacon ministry comes and they stand. They don't say a whole lot until something ain't right. And then they speak it. They remind me of walking tall. They walk soft and carry a big stick. Because they are comfortable in who they are. If I was talking to Saul today, I would simply ask him, didn't God give you the kingdom? Didn't God raise you up? What are you scared about? To the young ladies today, I would tell you, don't run after nobody. Didn't God tell you who you are? Didn't he make you a woman of essence? You ain't got to run after nobody. And I would tell the men today, doesn't matter. You don't need to chase no girl. Just walk and get you one. Because if you got to run after it to catch it, you're going to have to keep running to keep up with it. David still recognized Saul in his ministry. Let me flip for just a minute. You will have people in the church who get upset with you because they think you act too smart. You act like you know everything. Let me tell you, let them have a problem with you, but don't you have a problem with them. When they talk about you, don't you return the favor and talk about them. But you have to recognize, this is the person that laid the foundation for me. This is the person that took the place until I could get here. That's why I can look up to Sister Ingram. I can look up to Mother Wood. I can look up to Sister King. I can look up to Sister Williams. I can look up to them because when I got here, they was holding down the fort. When I didn't know which door to come in, they was holding down the fort. Am I jealous? No. Are they jealous? No. Because we are secure in who God called us to be. And if Saul was comfortable in his position, he would have joined in and said, you go, boy. You go, David. Kill another one, David. I got your back, David. But he was upset. The question is, can you celebrate somebody else? Can you stand to have somebody else's name being called? Can you step back and let God raise somebody else up sometimes? Can you pat somebody else on the back even though they didn't call you? Can you just stand there and say, I know God sent you. I'm so glad we share this walk together. Or are you so insecure that you fold your arm? I ain't saying nothing. I ain't doing nothing. I'm waiting till they call me. Been at that church longer than all. I put the first roll of toilet paper in the bathroom. Child of God, I came to tell you. John had to step back for Jesus. Martin Luther King stepped back for Malcolm X. Rosa Parks stepped back for Martin Luther King. In this life today, you're going to have to step back. But don't be scared because somebody stepped back for you. And after we get through making the way for each other, I came to tell you this morning, the reason we can do that is because your Lord and my Savior came through 42 generations so that we wouldn't have to be scared of nobody. Your Lord and my Savior came down and walked this earth 30 plus years so we would have life and life more abundantly. Your Savior and my God is the one that parted the Red Sea. He is the one that shut up the mouth of the lion. He is the one that said, my people, will have a better life. So as they beat him all night long, he did that, laying a foundation. As he went up, God got the hill. He did that, laying a foundation. As they nailed his hands and put him on that cross, he did that, steps to lay a foundation. Even when we did not understand what was going on, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did it laying a foundation. And then, when they put him in that grave, he said, somebody got to go. So he laid the foundation. And then, all Friday, no word. All Saturday, no word. But then Sunday morning, as the earth started reeling and started rocking and shaking, he spoke over and said, all power in heaven and earth is mine. And he did it laying a foundation. So I came to tell you, no jealousy in this house. No envy in this house. Because we are secure in our position. And just like Jesus got up, we get up. Just like Jesus wasn't scared, we ain't scared. And just like Jesus has all power, he has given us power to step on the head of the serpent, to drink poisonous vinegar, to just stand and tell him, you don't want none of me. Your arms are too short to box with my God. If you know that you're doing what the Lord told you to do, share the spotlight. Even if your name isn't called today, that's all right. Do you know what he did for you? Do you know what he brought you through? Do you have a testimony that belongs only to you? Then what you jealous of? What you scared of? Can't nobody take what God has for you. It is for you. What God has for you, it is for you. And can't nobody do you like Jesus. So today, to David Lean, 2007. If you're secure in your ministry, just wait here. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open. You may come by letter, Christian experience, have a day for that. Will you come today? Will you come today? In this house, there's room for everybody. The only name we lift up in this house is the name of Jesus. We have nothing else to give you but Jesus. We don't have any Holy Ghost soap, no angel bath water. We just give you Jesus. And we offer him to you freely. The Bible says God is no respecter of person. All you have to do is come. Will you come at this time? We offer Christ to you. And we offer him with every fiber of our being.